Good morning, family.
Good morning.
We welcome you today to our service of worship here at Emmanuel with Highworth, a part of the Old Town Partnership of Churches. Today is a full Sunday. We will be dedicating the new peace candle and also ordaining Viv and Michael as new elders. So we are glad you are here to show your support. This morning's Bible reading is from Tom Hartshorn. Whether you are a regular or a visitor here today, please feel at home. We welcome you too if you are listening to the recording on the internet and send you our best wishes. The good news is the defibrillator is now back in its proper place and is working, so that's good. I should like to remind you of the following notices. Remember to buy your tickets to see Paul Carenza on Friday the 4th, which is this Friday coming. There is a notice in the entrance porch and in weekly news. This will take place in Christchurch, and I think you won't be sorry you've gone. I think it's supposed to be really good, so don't let me sit there on my own. Next Sunday, we have Jeff Rhodes preaching as Robert is taking a week's holiday. Robert then has surgery on his knee a week or so later. So today might be your last chance to wish him well.
I hope it's not the last chance.
No, not the total.
But just in case.
Please look in weekly news for more notices. And finally, we will have a few moments of silence as I light the Christ candle.
Good morning and welcome all of you. With joy we are here today. And it's an important day in the life of a church. When in our tradition we ordain elders, it's a sign of continuity, it's a sign of dedication, it's a sign of commitment, and we are so grateful that this can happen. They weren't the only two elected at our annual meeting. The issue being that the two other elders that were elected were already elected, and they continue in their post. But ordination of elders is a great day in the life of the church. And I'm glad you are here to show your support. What I'd like to point out are the extremes of life. We share the joy of Amber, a newly born member of the family, of the wider family of the church, and we have the grandparents here, smiling. Peter's trying not to smile too much, but he's allowed to smile. And I just want to share with you the sad news that Lindsay Miller, her father, died yesterday. And so if you can hold all these people in your prayers as the list in the weekly news. The call to worship comes from Psalm number 8. When I look to the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. And while this is a joy to hear, it is also a call to responsibility to live up to what God wants from us. All our hymns this morning are from, where did I put my hymn book? Oh, right beside me. Sing Praise. So it says Sing Praise on the cover. It's the smallest of the hymn books, and all the hymns are from this hymn book today. The first one is hymn 249. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4. Be seated. Every hymn usually has a reason to be where it is. And I think you all know, I'd say it's public knowledge, not a secret, that I'm not a good singer. I'm an awful singer. Good. Soon you'll choke there. So in every church I've been a minister, and it's going up for 43 years, the music director, organist, or whatever, has said, can you step back from the microphone? Or to the sound desk, can you turn the pulpit mic off, please? It's my contribution to music is that you don't hear me sing, but I like singing. You should hear me sing when I put records on at home, and absolutely incredible. But, as I say, I don't know music. I leave that to my younger daughter. So I can only choose hymns for the words, except this one that I know the tune very well. And as I said to somebody the other day, this is one hymn that the words come to me in Spanish, because I learned this one in Spanish before I learned it in English. But the secret for this hymn here today is this. Verse 2, and feel the gentle breeze. That was my prayer. I just hope that some day, not too soon, the gentle breeze will flow and refresh us, because it's quite hot up here this moment, to tell you the truth. But that's the main reason. The second reason that I thought that singing to our Saviour and God, how great thou art, was a good theme to start our singing off this morning. But the breeze, I honestly think, was one of the main reasons. I invite you to join in words of prayer now, and we will end this with the Lord's Prayer said all together. Let us pray. We are your children, different, amazingly different. The way we approach things, the way we think, the way we do, the way we don't do things. And in a church like this one, those that can sing and those that can't sing, those that make the most amazing flower arrangements and those that look at them in envy, those that can bake the most amazing cakes, and those of us who enjoy the amazing cakes. And in the world, this continues and happens. Those that dedicate their lives to reminding us of what is important. Those that at their own risk work for peace, for justice, for food for everybody. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that your world, your creation, the universe is amazingly different. And that not, is not an accident, but is intentional. So that we may recognize in the others and in them, us, what we can do and bring us together. No matter how we call you, no matter in what language we sing, no matter where we come from, oh Lord, all this happens because you want it to be so. Thank you for those we love, for those who have guided us, educated us, taught us, loved us, for those that forgive us, for those that teach us what we can do in life. We thank you for all that is significant, for the music we can sing, for the poetry we can read, for the books that entertain us, for the knowledge of those that have come before us or walking with us that allow us to see what we wouldn't see otherwise. There is so much to be grateful for the church we belong to. We don't pretend to be perfect. We know there is room for improvement. But thank you that we are a community where we can be who we are. And we ask you, O Lord, for the churches, for the URC churches round about, not far away, for the partnership of churches, for our joint ministry, and the way we can love you and be loved by you. But we also have to recognize our failings. When we take you for granted, when we forget that diversity is a gift and not a curse, when we ignore new possibilities. Help us to reflect that things that were can be still faithful in a different way. Forgive us, O Lord, when we get used to what goes on in the world, particularly when it is wrong and damaging. Forgive us, and in your grace, allow us to be new. Allow us to be faithful. Allow us to be your children, your daughters and your sons. And we say together, as the disciples were taught, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Just a year ago, wasn't it, that Muriel went to meet her creator. And Lots of things were said about Muriel at that time, and I remember stories she told me. And I'm going to just mention one, that when I came over for those 10 days before you decided that you were running the risk of asking me to be your minister, at her home, she organized a lunch for the venerable adults of Emmanuel Church to meet with me and ask me lots of questions. And it was wonderful, because I discovered that they were caring, that they were loving, and that I'd say most of them had a great sense of humor, which is always great. One of the things that we identify with Muriel is all the involvement she did in bringing people together. So when thinking of how we could honor her memory and talking to the family, the new peace candle was a sort of a given. So today we will dedicate this new peace candle, which is one that as long as we remember to put oil in it, it should never go out. It may weaken and remind us that it needs caring, but it's always there. Christine, would you like to come forward? And Gail,
verses 25 to 27. I have said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid.
Thank you. So, in a second, if you would like to. I chose those words because it has the big significance. The peace that God gives is not the same as the peace that the world wants to give. And today we're living in a time where these two visions and concepts are so different and are struggling. And what we will hear during the ordination of elders and my abridged version of the sermon for this morning is that we are called to be followers of God's vision to make a difference. So we dedicate the peace candle that it may be a sign of what can be according to God's will, shining light, even if the world wants to turn that light out. Would you like to? There we are.
Yeah.
I hope you see this as a really good, good symbol of Muriel, because she was also a light in the world, wasn't she? So, thank you very much. Wow, it's really flickering, that one, eh? And it's not got a big wick, so it's happy doing what it's doing.
Our reading is from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, and can be found on page 157 of the New Testament section of the Bible. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
We join together singing hymn 311, Take This Moment, Sign and Space, Take My Friends Around Here Among Us, Make Us the Place Where Your Love Is Found. Lord, we hear your word and we ask for discernment in these times to know how to live what you are asking us to do. Amen. When Paul writes to the church in Rome, he wants to make sure that that church, and he will say this in other ways where he usually writes to, that the values of the Roman Empire are very different from the values of the kingdom of God. And because of this, he encourages the believers to realize the difference between one and the other, and to make choices that can only be good choices if they are guided by the Spirit. And this is crucial for us still today. In verse 2 of the passage that Tom read for us just now, do not conform, but be transformed. Or, according to other versions, which for obvious reasons I also like, be reformed. And it's just a matter of looking around the world to see how crucial this challenge is. Conforming is much easier. It really doesn't involve us taking any sort of decision. We can just follow the trend, and that's fine. Don't ask too many questions, and particularly don't ask many critical questions. You see, if you ask critical questions, people start not liking you. And sadly, over the centuries, Christians have not always made the right decision. Often we have. So what's the difference? Let's see. Let's not forget what we as churches were called many, 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 many years ago. Do you remember? We were called the nonconformist. I think it resonates with the reading today. Do not conform. So we have this in our DNA. Just want to point out very quickly that my growing up in Argentina was a mixture of things. Some very British and some very Argentine. But they didn't always walk together. The very British thing was celebrating Christmas with all the Christmas trimmings with a temperature of about 38 degrees, which was a killer. Hot lunch, plum pudding, Christmas cake. That's what we had to do. There was also the Argentine part. We were the only kids in the neighborhood who got presents on Christmas. The tradition in the more Latin countries that children get presents on the night of the 5th to the 6th of January. So we had presents when they didn't. They had presents when we didn't. You can imagine what that means to a child in the neighborhood. We spoke English, and we went to a Protestant church. I had to learn Spanish when I was old enough to have friends in the neighborhood, because they couldn't understand a word I was saying to my parents. And I was having struggles to find out what they were saying. You get the idea. Conforming how, when, where. My turning point was definitely my theological education, and I was old enough to realize that. Not to conform, but to be transformed. And you can't imagine what that did to me. And I'm reaping the consequences of that still today, and I don't regret it for one instant. The values of the kingdom should be the supreme map of our faith journey. But, as you well know, they often clash with the values of this world. Offering our whole life to be pleasing to God, as the passage says, to God, not to the values of the world. And this can only be possible if we invite the Spirit to lead us. The Spirit that leads us from conforming to reforming or transforming through the renewing of our mind that will lead to the renewing of our heart. And that way we discover what is good, pleasing, and God's perfect will. And if this isn't relevant for today, I don't know what is. We're invited in so many different ways to just follow the flow, to accept that things are. Many people who love quoting the Bible will quote the next chapter of Romans. All authority comes from God, you obey them. And that was told a lot in South America whenever we had dictatorships. All authority comes from God, you obey them. What happens when you begin to ask questions about that? And those in authority, and just read any newspaper of the last week. Can we truly say that they're instituted by God if what they do is far from the will of God? It is a whole new way of living which becomes a real confrontation confirmed or transformed? Can they go hand in hand? Our life today, given the current challenges, asks us to take sides. The dynamic, moving, discerning, learning project of God. Of all the gifts of the Spirit, I think the most difficult is that one of discerning. Is it what so-and-so is saying, or is God really asking for something else? Is this really from God, or is it somebody's personal interest? You get the idea. I believe in the sense of we belong to one body. We've sung that. We're going to hear it in the ordination of elders. That is central to our faith. Different members, each with their own functions, but belonging together. In the end, it is what people see how we live, not necessarily hear how they should live, that makes the difference. Because you can tell by now what goes on in the world, the amount of people that are telling you how you should live, not necessarily showing how they would follow that same pattern. And that's a challenge. It doesn't come easy. Sadly, we are living in a world of division where religion plays an important part of it, and they blame everybody else's religions. But ours is part of the story as well. There are those who refuse to live by the belonging view. We all belong together. And would rather live by the excluding. Us, them. Us is obviously us. Look at us. Distinguished, elegant, of one body, one mind, nice people. They, none of those qualities. And they often use this in the name of God. And we know today, economic accumulation as a sign of blessing, power, the color of your skin, the place where you were born, your gender, your sexual orientation, the language you speak, or even the word you use to address God, that can be a barrier. That can be the in or out definition for people. And yet, isn't that what God knows is the possibility of being the oneness of the body with different abilities, capacities, and challenges? That is clear in the reading as well that Tom read just now. You see, it's much more complicated to be transformed than to be conformed. If we are able to recover the sense of belonging, we don't have to go very far. Do you remember when the disciples went to Jesus and said, "Can you teach us to pray? Sort of in the way you do it." Because prayer had been part of their growing up, clearly. And he produces for them the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. And it begins, "Our Father." He didn't choose to say, as you're going to say it, each one of you, say, "My Father." He began by saying, "Our Father." And whenever and wherever the people of God gather and use this prayer in worship, in whatever language they use it, it will always be "Our Father." It is the sharing of the gifts and the talents. It is discovering that we are all others to somebody, and that we're all together for everybody. I am convinced that life, when faced with this confrontation, takes sides. I pray that we take the side of transformation, and that will make the difference, that we live these values, because this is how the world needs it, those differences to be lived out as bringing people together, not shutting doors. I firmly believe that the conforming is the pulling of the one body to pieces. It excludes. Paul reminded the early Christians that the Roman Empire was not the real thing. and it would crumble and collapse. And history teaches us, whether we like it or not, that no empire is eternal. The kingdom is the kingdom of God. Our loyalties are to the value of God's vision, made alive through the power of the Spirit. And this is where we are today. We lit a new peace candle that'll shine every time we gather for worship. It is breaking the conformity that war is a necessary element in life, that violence is to be accepted. Each time that candle is lit, having lit the Christ candle, is telling us, do you know what? That's not true. Each time we say the Lord's Prayer, think of the first word you say, Our Father. The eldership of a church, trying to guide the church through the challenges and changes of this time. If our mothers and fathers saw us today, for some things they would be quite horrified. I remember the previous church I was minister of. Do you know what nearly broke the church? They put a cross at the front. That was considered an image. Not to happen. And members of the church left the church because of that. The problem was that there was no other church they could go to because every other church had a cross in its temple. So what do you do? But I'm just saying that's a reality. It's not an invention, and it affects people. And we're still on that journey. How will our decisions, the way we live, the possibilities of things we do and say, help people understand the love of God today in a different way of what it was, but based on that same faithfulness? This is where we are today and the days to come. And I pray that God may lead us on this journey, because we aren't alone. And the Spirit is there, blowing the breeze we all hope for to lead us on the way forward. Amen. Let us join in singing hymn 251, put peace into each other's hands and like a treasure hold it, protect it like a candle flame, with tenderness enfold it. seated. What follows is a bit wordy, but I think in most churches, the great acts of the life of a church are wordy. But words that I invite you to follow and listen carefully, because though they speak to those who have been elected as elders, they also challenge us. Through baptism, members of the church are called to serve God in the world and to proclaim the love of Christ by the way they live. Some are called to particular responsibilities as ministers of word and sacrament, and in the United Reformed Church, some are called as elders to share with the minister in the pastoral oversight and leadership of the local church. Today, according to the decision of the church meeting, we are here to ordain Vivian Blakesley and Michael Dismore to the office of elder and induct them to serve in this congregation. The Lord Jesus Christ continues his ministry in and through the church, the whole people of God, called and committed to his service. To equip them for his ministry, he gives particular gifts and calls some of his servants to exercise them in offices duly recognized by the church. Some are called to the ministry of word and sacrament, others to be elders. Elders share with the minister the pastoral oversight and leadership of the local church. To each is normally entrusted a group of members. In the elders' meeting, they take counsel together for the whole congregation. They are responsible for making provisions for Christian worship and education, for maintaining the proper standards of membership, and for promoting witness and service to the community, mission at home and abroad, and the peace, unity, and welfare of the church. It is their duty to arrange for the proper maintenance of the church buildings and to ensure the oversight of church finances. Some elders represent the local church at wider councils of the church, and by virtue of their membership of these councils, represent the whole church to the local church. Elders being elected by the church meeting are ordained to their office and inducted to serve for such period as the church which elects them determines. Their ordination and induction as an act of the church is what is happening today. It is right at the time to share the statement concerning the nature, faith, and order of the United Reformed Church. And this we have not read for a long time, I think, because it is long, but it's in our hymn book. So it's not up here because we're not going to sing it. But I invite you to look in Rejoice and Sing for the what would be hymn 761. And sitting down, we don't need to stand. It does go over to the other page. But this is important for us to realize who we are as a church and the words it says. So, as is traditional, please could you respond with the letters in bold. With the whole Christian church, the United Reformed Church believes in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Living God, the only God ever to be praised. The life of faith to which we are called is the Spirit's gift, continually received through the Word, the sacraments, and our Christian life together. God's the gift and answer the call, giving thanks for the means of grace. The highest authority for what we believe and do is God's word in the Bible, alive for his people today through the help of the Spirit, whose servants we are with all God's people through the years. We accept with thanksgiving to God the witness of the Catholic faith in the Apostles' and Nicene Creeds. We acknowledge the declarations made in our own tradition by Congregationalists, Presbyterians, and Churches of Christ, in which they stated the faith and sought to make its implications clear. Faith of life, an active gift of an eternal source, renewed for every generation. We conduct our life together according to the basis of union, in which we give expression to our faith in forms which we believe contain the essential elements of the Church's life, both Catholic and Reformed. But we affirm our right and readiness, if the need arises, to change the basis of union and to make new statements of faith in the ever new obedience to the living Christ, who leads us in our faith and brings it to perfection. Held together in the body of Christ through the freedom of the Spirit, we rejoice in the diversity of the Spirit's gifts and uphold the rights of personal conviction. For the sake of faith and fellowship, it shall be for the Church to decide when differences of conviction hurt our unity and peace. Speak the truth in love and grow together in the peace of Christ. We believe that Christ gives his Church a government distinct from the government of the state. In the things that affect obedience to God, the Church is not subordinate to the state, but must serve the Lord Jesus Christ, its only ruler and head. Civil authorities are called to serve God's will of justice and peace for all humankind, and to respect the rights of conscience and belief. As citizens of God's eternal kingdom, we affirm our intention to go on praying and working with all our fellow Christians for the visible unity of the Church in the way Christ chooses, so that people and nations may be led to love and serve God and praise him more and more forever. Source, guide, and goal of all that is, to God be the eternal glory. Amen. I would like to invite Viv and Michael to come forward. Is that where you stood as a groom?
Pardon?
Is that where you stood as a groom?
No, yeah.
Okay. Just to make a difference. Yes. Viv and Michael, you were elected at the last annual church meeting, and you've accepted the call the Church made to you. This is too far up. There we are. Do you accept the statement we've just read and confess again your faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? In dependence on God's grace, do you affirm your trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and you promise to follow him and to seek to do and bear his will all the days of your life?
I do.
Do you believe that the Word of God in the Old and New Testaments, discerned under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is the supreme authority for the faith and the conduct of God's people?
I do.
Do you accept the office of elder of the United Reformed Church in this congregation, and do you promise to perform its duties faithfully?
I do.
Thank you, God, for the various gifts which you give your people and for the varieties of ministry in the Church. Thank you for all the women and men of faith and integrity who have served this local church. We thank you now for Viv and for Michael. And I'd like to invite Don and Liz, in representation of the whole eldership, the church secretary and the chaplain for today, to join me at this moment. We could probably put our hands on their shoulders. Sorry? There we are. Okay. Empower Michael with your Holy Spirit. Give him humility and grace so that by his faithfulness he may show your love to your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Empower Viv with your Holy Spirit. Give her humility and grace so that by her faithfulness she may show your love to your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In your name, dear God, and trusting it to be your will, we now ordain Viv and Michael to be an elder. And now to the congregation, because it is by your vote, your opinion, you presented their names for consideration, and then when those names were presented to you in the church annual meeting, you put a cross beside their names. So it's your responsibility as well. I'm going to ask you two questions and ask you to respond accordingly. Do you, as members of this local church, accept and receive Viv and Michael to serve as elders among you? A little bit more conviction than the next one, please. I know it's hot, but will you encourage them and respond to their ministry, acknowledging that it comes to you from God?
We will.
Eternal God, you have called us all to serve you in the world and to share your love with each other and our neighbors. Through the decision of the local church, you have called Michael and Viv to serve as an elder. Give them the promises, the blessings of your Holy Spirit, and fill them with fresh vision and courage to lead us in the work you have called us to do. Make them wise in the mind of Christ and give them the gifts they need to fulfill this service faithfully. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and according to the decision of this church meeting, I declare you, Michael, and you, Vivian, to be ordained and inducted to serve as elders, and welcome you into the office, in confirming of which we will give you the right hand of fellowship. Congratulations, Ed. Congratulations, Michael. And Viv, this is a certificate that if anybody challenges you, you can say, here, this is it. It's been signed by the minister and the church secretary, Michael, just the same. May the God of peace sanctify you entirely. May your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless. The one who calls you is faithful and will do this. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome your two new elders to this church. If you want to curtsy or bow. Thank you. And as a response to what we have just shared, let us sing hymn 270. Dear Christ, uplifted from the earth, your arms stretched out above, through every culture, every birth, to draw an answering love. It's a different tune from the one here, isn't it? This time of the service, we share what we have been able to set apart for the time of the offering. The sermon was that good. I thought, is this for me or for the collection plate? Well, this has never happened to me before. Only stand if you are able to, don't worry. Thank you. Oh, look. Your heart is not on your sleeve, but on your dress today. Your heart is not on your sleeve, but on your dress today. Lord, the offering, what we set apart from what we have received. But it's not only what's in this plate. It's the dedication of our time, our talents, our possessions. May the Spirit guide the use of what's in this plate and what we all are and have, so the world may discover better ways of serving, of living, of sharing. Bless those who have to decide how it is used, and bless our lives. Amen. And I invite you to join in the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you very much. On a day like today, under this, it's as hot as you can imagine. I envy the shorts I see in the church today. And I wonder if after my knee surgery, my knees will be elegant enough to be shown in shorts, at least under the gown, but I don't know if that's allowed. It's not mentioned in what we have just read in hymn 761, so I'd have to consult with the higher order. We pray for others at this time, for the world, for loved ones and friends, and there will be a time of silence for each of you to present in that silence your prayer to God. Let us pray. Sometimes, dear God, sometimes when we look around, it is difficult. We see things that we should not be seeing because they are wrong. But in the midst of all that, we see things and read of things that are amazing because they are right. In the midst of all this, we ask you time and time again, what can I do, dear Lord? What should I do? And we continue to ask this. It's our prayer for what happens far away and what happens very close to us. Lord, we have a peace candle on the communion table, not for decoration, but because the world needs peace. And we know that peace without justice is farcical. And yet there is so much hatred and destruction going on. When we hear of people dying of hunger, we can't believe it, and yet it's true. When we hear of doctors and nurses risking their lives with the little they have at their disposal. We pray for more people loving. We thank you, dear God, that we don't give up to despair even when we do despair. For Iran, for Gaza and Israel, for Ukraine and Russia, for the difficult situations that many people live in the United States of America, for the difficult situations many people live in our own country and in so many other countries of the world. We pray for leaders to be led by the spirit of truth and of love, of empathy and hope. We pray for all those that dedicate their lives to improve situations for others. We pray, O Lord, for those that teach, those that serve others, those that cure and heal. O Lord, give them courage and strength and stamina when they live under awful situations. We pray for the church, Lord, for our church, the partnership of churches, and the church in the world, that we may be the voice of your love, that we may seek to be transformed by the Spirit rather than conformed to the reality of this world. We rejoice with those who rejoice in births, in happy birthdays, in new opportunities, and we weep with those who weep, with death, illness, the sensation and feeling that many things in life have been snatched from them while they decide how to continue. We pray for Emmanuel Church, for the eldership, for the membership, for the activities that go on in this building. We pray, O Lord, for that which is deep on our heart, which in this silence each of us can present to you. In the grace of your distribution of talents, abilities, gifts to different people, may we recognize that in the sharing there is a wholeness of the body that we don't often understand but makes such a difference to the world. May your light shine. May we reflect your light. May the world be healed. May your peace be extended, multiplied, and generous in the world today. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And our closing hymn is hymn 98, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me, and we will sing it twice. May we feel equipped to leave this place and live what God wants for us and for others in the simple things of every day. Now, eternal light, shine into our hearts. Eternal goodness, deliver us from evil. Eternal power, be our support. Eternal wisdom, scatter the darkness of our ignorance. Eternal pity, have mercy on us, that with all our heart and mind and soul and strength, we may seek your face and be brought by your infinite mercy to your Holy Spirit presence through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, with those you love, and with the people of God everywhere. In that peace go and live. Amen.